expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-8255. That's 907-458-TALK. Today's the last Wednesday of the month, which means
Joni Skillbread's on the air, I guess.
Not the third Wednesday or the fourth Wednesday.
The last
Wednesday.
Yes.
You're like my calculated addiction of history.
Oh.
The last Wednesday of every
month. Oh, I like that.
Yep, my calculated addiction of history.
Yeah. I haven't been called that before.
Welcome to your fifth, sixth year on the show. What are we doing today?
The history of snow abatement.
Snow plowing. Snow removal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big word, abatement.
Well, yeah. I mean, isn't that the modern term for it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yes. Ever since Fairbanks was founded, we've had snow and we've had to deal with it.
That's true.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, heck, what else you been doing?
I've been working on a project with Jay Ramos at Pike's Landing that I'm pretty excited about. Well, there'll be more about that later.
Okay, you're not going to give out any secrets yet.
No.
You know, I gotta really commend Jay. He's always upgrading and doing something with that hotel in Pike's Landing.
Mm-hmm.
He's always looking at the future. What's next? Where do I take it? What do I do? How do I make it better for Fairbanks, my guess? He's always doing it.
Yes. He's definitely a really positive thinking person, but you know, his hotel, he owns his hotel,
mm-hmm.
and it's not owned by a franchise, so he gets to decide what his hotel is going to be. If you are owned by a franchise, the franchise decides what your hotel is going to be. And if you haven't been there, I'll just do a shameless thing here.
Do it.
Go see it. I mean, oh my gosh, the artwork in there is amazing, and you can walk around the grounds, and there's Fairbanks history on display all over, and that's my work.
He brought in a ringer.
Yes, and you know, I'm really proud of it because it gives visitors a look at our real history and not a cartoon of our history. And I'm really excited to be a part of that. And there's a big project coming up that's really exciting, and I'll talk more about that later. But I can say you've seen the Wing World sign. Everybody's excited. They think there's going to be chicken wings again, and it is not.
Nope.
It is an aviation-themed part of the hotel, and it's really cool what he's doing.
That's great.
Get the name Wing World.
So tell me about city snow removal. Let's go early history.
Well, so, you know, I had to, when I looked at all of this, I decided to do this when you said that they're the two most important things as mayor that you personally need to make sure snow are taken care of.
Snow plowing and potholes.
Yes. Yes. And when you said that, I went, oh, snow abatement. I bet that's interesting.
Yeah.
because we haven't always had all this modern equipment. And what did they do exactly? And I didn't know. So I set to work and I started learning. And so today's show is going to be what I learned.
Let's start at the beginning.
Yeah, so what I found was you have to kind of divide this into sections. And so there's the pre-Alaska Railroad, post-Alaska Railroad, and then we'll go by decade. And, you know, the pre-Alaska Railroad, you have to think about Fairbanks, first of all, when it was founded, it was a lot of trees on a high riverbank.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit swampy, and they cut all those trees down and built cabins and burned what they didn't put into the cabin. They burned to stay warm, and there were a lot of stumps, and they didn't have all this machinery that we have available today. All they had was rudimentary tools and
shovels,
and yes, and muscle power. And so they got work gangs together, mostly volunteer efforts. And they got finally the stumps, you know, and then we did the show about the sewers, you know, they had to drain it. And so they had to put in these rudimentary sewers. And I was really surprised how important those are when it comes to snow removal. Sewers and snow are very tied to one another. When April arrives, and if you were stupid leading up to April, you are going to find out just how important those sewers are.
The poop flowed the wrong way.
Yeah, so we built all these cabins, we got rid of the stumps, and now we have these streets. And if you think about it, you know, you got to go all the way back to what is a street. And, you know, it's the thoroughfare.
A lane of transportation.
A lane of transportation.
Yeah.
And what we think of as a street is not what it was pre-Alaska Railroad.
No, it's not.
It was dirt. Mm-hmm. There was no gravel. It was dirt. I mean, how are you going to gravel the streets of Fairbanks if you don't have equipment?
They didn't have even concrete back then. Come on.
No, they didn't.
They didn't know what a gravel pit was.
How are you going to haul all that gravel and load that gravel?
Yeah.
If all you have is horses, you know, it's really, it's not feasible. And the railroad was on the other side of the river.
True. Very
so,
true.
So it was just dirt. And what happens to dirt? Anybody's got a dirt driveway? We all know somebody that's got one. What does that look like?
Mud.
Yeah. Mud. Axle deep mud. Mud that has
bog,
a suction.
Bog.
Yes. And
something to get stuck in.
In the spring, you would get stuck. And then you have these deep ruts. And, of course, you're going to drive saddling the ruts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, probably the best time for traversing the streets of Fairbanks, I would say, would probably have been like in October when the ground starts to freeze up.
Yeah.
They had terrible problems with dust also.
It's hard pack.
Yeah.
Without much snow.
Yeah. So we
and
have...
Then in April...
Well, we have that, and in April it melts, and it turns into a big quagmire.
Mm-hmm.
So now this is where the sewers come in.
And yeah.
So the snow has to be able, as it melts, it has to be able to get into the sewer. And if you let those sewers ice up, the points of entry,
mm-hmm.
if you let that ice up and freeze shut, then your water has nowhere to go.
That's why we have two steam trucks.
Yes.
And we do repairs on them over the winter, so they're ready to go in the spring. And then what happens is after a week of operation, something breaks.
Right. Yes. So also what you have to consider is who's traversing the streets of Fairbanks?
People, horses, and dogs.
Horses and dogs. and wagons. And those wagons had narrow little wheels. They didn't have big wide tires like we have today.
Which causes ruts.
More and more ruts, yes. And so that was, that led to some problems of its own. So finally, it comes down to who's in charge of taking care of these streets and trying to keep them in order. And they would have work crews go out and try to fill in stuff, you know, and make them as good as they could make them.
About what year was this?
Well, we're talking before the Alaska Railroad.
1905, 1908.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All the way up to World War
One. Yeah.
Well, 1915. Because that's when they started building the railroad.
Okay.
So they decided finally, we need a streets commissioner. The city council decides this. And so what do you think happens when they say, okay, we need to have a commissioner in charge of the streets to organize work getting done? Of course, you know. Oh, is this commissioner volunteer or is this a paid position? Well, it's going to be a paid position. Oh, no, no, no. We're not doing that. I'm not paying for that, you know.
You get what you pay for.
You've been on the city council. You know how this goes.
You get what you pay for.
You get what you pay for. So there was some pushback, and finally, you know.
And the key is getting quality for paying. When you pay quality, get quality.
Finally. Everybody agrees, okay, this is a big problem. We need to have a commissioner, and we do need to pay him, so they were able to get that passed.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You listen to KFAR Radio. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Cyberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at kfarradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 9 below. Winds out of the southwest around 5 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows dip down to about 31 below. Daytime highs approaching 9 below tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have the Joni Skillbred, historian extraordinaire, in the studio here with me, giving her a big head.
Yeah. So when we went to the break, the city decided to hire a commissioner to be in charge of the streets. And that commissioner stayed in place all the way through, pretty much, what we're going to talk about.
Basically,
you know,
he became your city engineer.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much, yeah. And it was a really important job.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a year-round job. And, of course, snow was a big issue. So what
I have a feeling in the early days they're pulling out prisoners for snow shoveling.
No.
No?
Well, no. No, not in the very early days, no.
Oh, that was later?
Well, yeah.
You're smiling that wicked smile. Okay.
Yeah. So what happened was, in the early days, you have, you know, these lots and you have these false-fronted buildings lining the street.
Mm-hmm.
And each proprietor or property owner, it was their responsibility to shovel that walk. And the walks were all boardwalks up until the 1940s.
Yeah.
They were all wooden boardwalks, which are not fun to shovel. And it was your responsibility to keep your section cleared.
We still have that today.
And everything went out into the street, and then it got all hard packed down because there was no snow removal from the streets. How are you going to remove it? You can't. So it was, we're going to pack it down. And that's what they did, which was great until April. So,
you see the word breakup, and half it was from the Chena River. The other half was just from the snow and the streets that was there.
Right, right. And so these property owners, it's their responsibility. And the newspaper would get on board, and they would do this big campaign, you know, that it's your responsibility, and we all need to pitch in and all of that. Well, that's great, but not every property owner is able to live up to that responsibility. Mm-hmm. Some people physically can't do it. Some people can't afford to have it hired out. Some people just are jerks, you know. But for the most part, that was the system that they had all the way up until around 1915 when they started with the Alaska Railroad. And also during those early years, the city had financial issues. You know, they couldn't afford to buy a lot of stuff. They couldn't afford to put in all of these services. It was very minimal what they did for mm-hmm. the residents. And so, you know, people just did as they could. There really was not any real snow removal other than property owners shoveling their own section, which led to a mess in April. And pretty much what they did was they just really focused all their effort on those drain points for the sewers to be kept open. And you've seen all those breakup pictures. Mm-hmm. And that's why it looks so bad. It wasn't that the Chena always flooded. It was that there was no snow abatement during the winter.
Yeah. And the water had to melt and go to the Chena or go into the mm-hmm. ground. Simple as that.
So once the Alaska Railroad came about, that's when we started getting equipment and vehicles. So now your usage types on your streets is changing. You're starting to get cars with rubber tires. And cars aren't like horses. And no auto owner wants to have a team of horses go and ask a teamster to pull his car out of the mud hole he drove into on the street on Second Avenue. You don't want that. So there was these autoists, early day autoists. They were the people that had all the money. They were the people that had all the clout in town. They were the business people in town. Mm-hmm. And they wanted the streets graveled. And so they really put a lot of pressure on the city council. We need the streets graveled. We need the streets graveled. We need the streets graveled. And so finally, in 1915, they decided to try to gravel part of First Avenue out in front of where the Marriott sits today. Mm-hmm. And it was really expensive, and it was a pitiful amount of gravel that they were able to put in because all they had was horses. And they need more than that. Well, when the railroad was built, out of the Alaska Engineering Commission, the Alaska Road Commission was also formed, and they had contracts to maintain all the roads surrounding Fairbanks, but not within the city. Well, when it would snow, when we got really big storms, you have a problem because, or if you have really deep snow winter, you can't get fire trucks to buildings. And you have to remember Fairbanks was all wooden buildings. Mm-hmm. In 1919, they had a big fire, and it took out the corner of Cushman and First. And it was a big wake-up call. And there was a lot of pressure from the fire department. We need to make sure that these streets are cleared in the winter so that we can
have access. Yep.
Oh, yes. It was very, very important. So finally, the Alaska Road Commission would be contracted to come in and plow the street clear if it became in the downtown core area, if in the business district.
So you're
district.
Using territorial money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If it became a fire hazard that the fire department said, no, we can't get through anymore, then they would go and they would plow it. But now they're plowing it and you just have a cow path and you got a big berm. They had a rotary piece of equipment, and it doesn't give a good description of exactly what that was, if it was a rudimentary snowblower or not. I'm not sure. It wasn't a good description. But they also had graders that you used a tractor to pull, you know, like a cat.
Mm-hmm.
So that changed how we did things, and, you know, for the better. But the city itself is not doing any of the snow abatement. It's still up to the property owners. And the ARC would come in, like I say, periodically. This all changed in 1937 because there was a big blizzard. And this blizzard hit nationwide news. It was like, it was a record setter.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that we've had anything bigger than that today. And it was like these back-to-back huge, huge snow dumps. And then the wind, and it drifted the snow, and it really made a mess. And by then, we have an airport out at Weeks Field.
Mm-hmm.
And not only can people in town not get anywhere, but people out of town can't get anywhere.
So the transportation mode was changing so fast.
It was.
You had to have a snow removal system to accommodate everyone, including the air and the streets.
Yes, and it totally overwhelmed everybody's capabilities. And that was a big wake-up call for the residents of Fairbanks, because the city is driven by the residents.
Do you remember how many feet that the 37 blizzard dumped on us? Or any estimates?
You know, if I remember right, it was two back-to-back 18 inches at a time dumps with big wind in between.
So, yes.
And it just totally
so what
buried
happened,
everything.
Then,
buildings were collapsing.
And then you got crusts on the top of the
yes.
snow.
Oh. Yes. Yes.
Don't ask me how I know that.
And so they had to come in, the road commission come in and cleared the city streets. But then that meant that while they're doing that, nobody can go anywhere outside of the city either. I mean, it was a game changer. And people said, we need to do a better job of this. We can't let this happen again. It was a very scary time. And so the public support was finally there to purchase equipment. And that really changed and made a big step into, you know, where it's the city providing some of the snow removal services rather than everybody else.
Too funny.
Yes. Yes. And the other thing I can say is that you were also expected in those days to not put, by after 1937, to not put your snow in the street, and you had to remove your snow from your sidewalk and haul it to the river and dump it.
Real quick before we take a break, who did the airport maintenance?
The road commission.
Okay.
Yeah.
Basically on behalf of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. Got some bumper music for you. Janet Jackson, I have no idea what this is. We have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, some weather. And we will be back to Problem Corner and talk about city snow removal and early history. We'll be back after these messages.
Problem. Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
From the House Oversight and Judiciary Committees, Republicans are conducting an impeachment inquiry. They allege a pay-for-access scheme involving Hunter Biden, his father, and foreign companies. Democrats call the inquiry political.
An inappropriate expedition.
Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, America is listening to Fox News.
New from the Fox News Podcast Network.
I'm Emily Campagno, and this is the Fox True Crime Podcast.
And I had nothing to do with her disappearance.
I sit down with the people who lived the nightmares.
I was in shock. I was just devastated.
The investigators who tirelessly worked on the case.
And I really hope that they can catch this guy.
Bringing you closer to the story than you ever thought possible.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
These are the stories.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports that the Federal Trade Commission filed a lawsuit Monday to block Kroger's $24.6 billion acquisition of Albertsons. The FTC described the deal as anti-competitive in a statement released Monday. This supermarket mega merger comes as American consumers have seen the cost of groceries rise steadily over the past few years, said Henry Liu, FTC Bureau of Competition Director. Kroger's acquisition of Albertsons would lead to additional grocery price hikes for everyday goods, further exacerbating the financial strain consumers across the country face today. In response to the FTC's lawsuit, Kroger slammed the federal agency in a press release, stating the suit will actually harm the very people the FTC purports to serve, American consumers and workers. A successful merger would also mean 5,000 stores and 4,000 pharmacies across 48 states would fall under a single company's ownership. In Alaska, 14 Safeway stores would be sold to CNS, which has never operated outside of the lower 48.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Honda EU 2200i generators are $200 off now at the Woodway. Be ready for the next winter cold snap power outage. Take advantage of these savings and keep your lights on. Buy your dependable Honda generator now. And there's still plenty of winter left. Buy your brand new Honda snowthrower. They were ordered last June and they're finally arriving. Buy yours while you can for the snow yet to come. Honda generators and snowthrowers. Be ready the Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prus here with Joni Skillbred. How you doing?
I'm good.
Enjoying it?
Oh, yes.
Very good presentation. When did you start prepping and looking at this?
Sunday. I got 2 days at work on this.
Very thorough.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was kind of fun. You know, I like infrastructure and I'm very interested in how our city went from being just a rough bunch of men to our city government being something that's modern and,
yeah.
And you know, you got to be flexible. You can't have things that are in stone because you can't get things done that way.
You ever notice how it takes something to move you forward?
Yes.
A blizzard, snow.
You have to have, elements. The city government is run by the residents of the city. It's mm-hmm. not run by the city council. The city council, you know, they take the input from the residents, but they're held accountable ultimately by the residents. If you don't have the support of the people living there, then you're not going to get anywhere.
True. Very true.
Yes. And when it comes to money, especially, and services cost money, and are people willing to pay for them? You know, that's a big question. And when it came to snow removal, you know, today it's a no-brainer. We all want the snow off the streets. And we've become accustomed to that. But remember a couple years ago when we had that big storm?
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't the fault of the city that the snow wasn't off the streets. I mean, it was iced to the streets.
Yeah, you know, it was the perfect storm, per se. You had a dump of snow.
Yep.
Then you had 30 below.
Yep.
Then you had a dump of snow. Then you had 30 above. Then you had 30 below.
Yes. Don't forget the rain.
Well, 40 above. 40
yeah,
above.
Don't forget
December,
the rain.
December 26th.
Like a couple inches.
3 inches of rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, it took all that and snow then, and glaciered it right to the street.
Right after that, you had 30 below.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was there till spring. And so that was a taste of what it was like in the 30s and before mm-hmm. when we didn't remove the snow. I mean, it was just, you know, a mess, especially a breakup. But so anyway, they finally decided that they're going to get some equipment. And also at that time, you know, the 1940s, the late 30s, in the 1940s, the military was starting to have a presence here. And we went from being a gold mining economy to the military is a huge part even today mm-hmm. of our local economy.
Like 22%.
They have a big footprint here.
They're Fort Wainwright's in the city limits.
Yes. Yes. And back then, it was called Ladd Air Force Base.
Ladd Field.
And it was a major, major player here. And we had to have a way to get equipment. And the government was putting money in. They were pouring money into the railroad. They were pouring money into defense. And so there was money that became available to buy equipment. You had to tax, bond, and get grants.
And the technology was happening, too, because
yes.
overall, you had transportation. You had vehicles. You know,
yes.
General Motors, Ford.
Yes. Actually, vehicles that had power.
Yep.
And hydraulics.
Yep.
And all of those things really combined. You know, no longer did you have to rely on horses. And before the railroad was completed, you couldn't get that equipment here. There was precious little equipment in the whole territory. I mean, we were still running on steam for a lot of stuff. And we finally got that transition over. So the 40s brought in the modern era of machinery, fossil fuel-powered machinery.
Gas and diesel.
Yes. And, boy, I'll tell you, we all benefited big time from it. So
did Chevron.
So to do the snow removal, when they first bought equipment, they bought road grader, and they got some dump trucks, and they bought this piece of equipment, and it's called a snow loader. And it's a very interesting looking piece of equipment. And I brought a picture for you today. And
you showed me that, yeah.
Yeah. And it looks like a zoom boom with a big conveyor belt put on it.
It looks like the front end of a gold dredge.
It has a mini bucket line.
Yeah.
A mini little bucket line at the beginning, and those buckets dump onto the larger conveyor belt, and that belt sends it up and it falls into the dump truck. And the whole thing is on wheels. This picture here is when it was new,
this is the first piece of equipment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They ran it.
From Griffin's studio. That's great. Yeah.
They ran it that first winter, and it worked so good. Everybody was really excited about it. But for the next winter, they had to go back and get the money to put an enclosed cab on it because the guy who's sitting there running it was freezing to death.
Now Fairbanks, I'm going to describe the photo to you. It's on 2nd Avenue. Griffin's was next to the Model Cafe, just down from the Lathrop Building.
Yes.
Oh, and the Lacey Street Theater was there, too.
Yeah, it's not very far from where we're sitting today.
Yeah. But there it is, and it's a, you know, the dump truck is a dual axle in the back,
mm-hmm.
wood sideboards.
Yes.
Not big, but it was the first.
Yes. So this snow loader was so successful that it was a super important piece of Fairbanks' snow removal equipment all the way up until the 60s. And for years, this particular snow loader, it blew its motor once. And of course, it always blows it when you get a snow dump. And then they couldn't move the snow. And everybody was, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, you know. And they got it fixed as fast as they could. And they got it back in service.
Yeah, you need more than one now.
Well, as far as I know, they only had the one. And so they would do, just like today, they would do the scheduled advertise in the paper, which streets are going to be done at this time. Now, what's the problem with that? You schedule ahead of time. You advertise. Why? Because you don't want all those cars parked on the street, just like today. Mm-hmm. And so they said, okay, they made an ordinance. If you leave your vehicle on the street, then it can be towed.
24 hours.
And they tried impounding them. That didn't work. So then for a long time, they would just go, the dump truck would hook onto it, drag the car down where they weren't going to be working and leave it there. The car owner in the meantime would come out and, where's my car? And they would have to go walk around town to find it. And then they would go complain to the city council, who was like, well, you shouldn't have left it there. Finally, in the early 60s, this was taking a lot of time for the snow removal crew to do this with these cars, the friendly drag, you know, to get them out of the way and not cost people money. And they got a new city streets commissioner, and he said, oh, no, we're not going to do this. And so they just started locking the cars up, drag them to an impound lot and charge you for it. And when they first started doing it, they advertised heavily that this was going to happen. Of course, people didn't listen. And they impounded 25 cars the first day.
Wow.
Yes. So when they did, 3 or 4 days later, when they did the next set of streets, they only snagged 11.
People learned real
so
fast.
So it was working. Yes.
go figure.
So it was
sort of
working.
Like spanking your children, they start learning yes. real fast.
And it became super, super, super important to use this snow removal equipment and get all the snow off the streets before April.
Yeah.
So that you didn't have the quagmire, because now we've got asphalt showing up and water sitting on asphalt wrecks the asphalt. Also, one thing that happened in those early days, they had they were using heat tapes in the sewers, in the portals to the sewers to keep them open. And they had this early day version of heat tapes. And there was a vandal or vandals who went around town and cut the wires so they wouldn't work. And, I mean, I was reading that and, you know, who would do that?
High school people.
Well, it's not funny.
I'm not saying it's funny or not. You asked who would do something like that.
Yeah.
That's, you know, your bored high school kids.
Well, maybe they made money hand shoveling. I don't know.
Maybe I'm just talking about myself when I was in high school.
Did you do that?
No, I did not. But, man, if I would have thought about that, I probably would have. Yeah, just a little snip, you know. I'll fix it in the spring when they figure it out.
Yes, well, those were some rotten kids. I'm sorry, but, you know, I like my snow removed.
of RAGS.
Yes, yes. And so... Also, you know, during these years, they started replacing all the wooden sidewalks with cement, because when they started using this mechanized equipment, mm-hmm. guess what? It doesn't like wooden.
No. It
does not like wooden sidewalks, and it damages it, and
rips
it damages
it up. It
the
rips
equipment.
It up. It splinters it.
Yeah, well, it also damages the equipment.
Yeah.
So it was.
Yeah, you know, wood, you know, tree trunks. 2x4s in our snow blowers. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, it does it to this day.
Yes, and don't forget the nails that popped out of the out of those boardwalks. And so after those boardwalks, you know, after about 8 to 10 years, they were rotting. And so whose job was it to put in new boardwalks?
City.
No.
Oh, the owner of the property.
It was the owner of the property until around the 30s, the mid-30s, it became the city realized, okay, you know, we have to do this.
Uniformity.
Yes. And so we really slowly evolved those services. I was surprised how slow this all occurred.
People not wanting to pay for it.
Exactly. So Fairbanks, you got to remember, Fairbanks in the 40s was a lot smaller than we are now. They had three or four trucks. They had this snow loader, and they had a grader. And that had to do everything. So, you know, that was then, but it wasn't going to be able to keep up, not with the military growth.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. Listen to KFAR Radio. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The American Red Cross of Alaska serves the entire state of Alaska, and you can count on them to be there to help you in times of need. The American Red Cross of Alaska is committed to providing relief to victims of disasters and helping people prevent, prepare for, and respond to emergencies. For more details, go to redcross.org. The Fairbanks office of the American Red Cross of Alaska is located at 3501 South Lathrop Street. This message brought to you by the radio station, located downtown at 529 Fifth Avenue. Weather brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoors. Your next adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters. For your Alaskan lifestyle, it's Frontier Outfitters.
KFAR Weather.
High temperatures reach up to 9 below today. Under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the northwest, around 5 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight, 31 below. Partly cloudy tomorrow, high of 9 below. A mix of clouds and sunshine and dry. Friday and Saturday, single digits below zero. Friday, near zero by Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Oh, no.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Got Joni Skillbred in the studio here with me. She's giving me old newspaper articles about my father.
I always do.
I know. He was something else.
He was. He was a lawbreaker is what he was.
Yeah, he ran. She just gave me a article that my dad ran a red light. and he was trying to get the mayor, it looks like, impeached. Mm-hmm. And so he was pulled over by the police, stopped, and charged him with driving through a red light. He was giving a warning and released. Okay.
Yeah, he just got spanked a little.
Oh, this was, sorry, not the mayor. L. Donald Cruz, chairman of the league that has been sponsoring an advertising campaign against the chief of police, may think twice before he inserts such ads in the future. Wasn't the mayor, it's the chief of police. Okay.
A little pressure.
Oh, goodness.
So,
way to go, Dad.
Yes. So Fairbanks, moving into the 1950s, you know, Fairbanks took on snow removal, but outside of town, it was a different story. And homesteaders, you know, were really branching out by then. And Harry Badger wrote an editorial in the newspaper, and he talked about the plight of homesteaders because the territorial government viewed it as the homesteaders' responsibility to keep those roads clear.
Oh, boy.
Way out on Badger Road, you know. And how they couldn't even get the basics, and that, you know, how unfair this was, and that you can't take these people in these far-flung areas where, you know, the population is way sparse per square mile.
Yeah.
And expect them to do miles of road, you know. So he made a plea. And actually, that sparked that getting addressed better, but that wasn't with the city, of course. That was with the Alaska Road Commission. So Fairbanks was doing pretty good with their equipment that they had. However, Fairbanks decided to expand. and with the annexation of
Island Homes.
Island Homes. And part of the selling point of this annexation is that they would be providing snow removal services. And they had agreed to do this. But how are you going to do this? Because you don't have the equipment to do it. And you have to get all those people paying taxes for a while to be able to have the money to buy the equipment to do all of that. I mean, new equipment, you know that. It's very expensive.
So now you're talking the mid-50s.
Yes. And so there's more and more demand for services. And, you know, people who are living in residential areas, you know, they shovel their snow.
So you have both the farm with with very little population to the urban dense all clamoring for snow removal.
Yes. And within the city, it's more and more and more. And so residents, they don't do the streets. The city has to do the streets, but there's more and more streets to do. Every winter, there's more streets. And, you know, because the city was growing. We had the FE company with starting up their dredging operations. We had the military. We were fixing to open up yet another military base. North Pole was booming. But here in the city, Fairbanks was growing. It wasn't shrinking. But we had this finite amount of equipment, and it takes money to upgrade all of that. And at the same time, the city's under a lot of pressure to upgrade the sewers, to upgrade the water. You know, they were still dumping raw sewage straight into the Chena in the 50s.
Yeah.
You know, and that was not acceptable anymore. So it was quite a time for the city. And really, we became a modern city. We wrestled with all of that and became a modern city.
We're still wrestling with it.
Yes. And we got a bunch of grant money from the federal government. And, you know, the territorial government was very limited, but through them some support. And then, you know, office city taxes and licensing and, you know, all those forms of revenue. And we slowly but surely became modern. And it wasn't until the 1960s that they replaced the snow loader with rotary snow blowers.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1962, the city ordered 6 dump trucks, 2 sander trucks, 3 graders, and 2 rotary plows. And the sand and cinder spreader was manned by jail trustees and 2 front end loaders for parking lots. And they ordered all of that in 1962, which represents there was a big initiative, and I believe there was a bunch of federal grant money that came into that because the military wanted us to be able to take care of ourselves. It was in their best interest.
So modern equipment with hydraulics starts replacing the older stuff.
Yes. And since then, we've had, you know, uninterrupted snow abatement services. And we take it for granted today, but, you know, we shouldn't because, you know, without it, you go back to those days when they didn't remove the snow from the streets and, oh, my gosh.
Well, sometimes you look at it and you say to yourself, heck, you know, go down Airport Road and you'll see where the state DOT they've done the middle lane with the snow removal, but on the access roads on the north and the south, it is plowed on the side. They haven't removed it yet.
Yes.
Budgets make it.
Or you live in Two Rivers, and everyone in Two Rivers knows the buck stops at Nordale Road.
Yeah.
You know, the snow removal isn't as, you know, we've become a lesser graded road after Nordale.
You know, here's an interesting thing about our right now on the radio. They're showing to me the Sean Hannity feed on right now. And it's not supposed to be for another 5 minutes, so we're just going to pretend that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And, yeah.
Yeah, they put the clock back in here.
Well, the clock's up there, too.
Yeah.
Oh, Boy. So wow. Fairbanks, we don't know if you're hearing us or Sean Hannity, and if you're not, if you're hearing Sean Hannity, good for you. If you're hearing us, you're really fortunate.
Yes.
So what are we looking at doing on our on your next show? March.
You know, I'm thinking about Lloyd Pike.
Okay.
Which is pretty interesting. The life and times of Mr. Pike. He was nobody knows anything about him, and I was quite surprised when I started learning about him. And boy, what a neat person he was!
Very exceptional fellow.
Did you know him?
Yes, my dad bought Pike's Landing from him.
Well, that's right. Yeah, so you did know him. Mm-hmm. Can you describe him?
Fastidious.
Fastidious.
Yes.
Yes.
Hardworking. Farsighted.
Thought in the future.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fiscally quite responsible.
Mm-hmm.
He enjoyed life.
Well, that's interesting to know. And I'll say why when I talk about him.
Yeah.
He's very interesting.
He was a leader of many civic organizations here.
He was, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And fraternal organizations?
Yeah, he was social.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're being polite. But, yeah.
Yes. So it was, so with the city snow removal, I hope that people have enjoyed hearing this. I sure did enjoy working on this. And it's something that we shouldn't ever take for granted, and we need to support paying the taxes to keep it going.
There you go.
Yes. So remember that the next time you get in there and going, I don't want those services, because you know what? You don't want to have to haul your snow someplace else.
Okay. I just got a text from one of my close friends. He's telling me they're still hearing us. So we are still on the air.
Yay.
Even though our thing here is quite screwed up, and at 12 o'clock I will manually start the break. What's supposed to start at 26, and I mean 12:26, Sean Hannity. So this is all, you know, hey, but guess what? I didn't break from having us being on the air. So I've had earthquakes here where people were breaking and running around, and I kept my microphone on and went through it.
And next week you're having the King and Queen on.
Regent, Monday.
Yes, on Monday.
Yeah, or is it Tuesday?
No, I think it's Tuesday.
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
Yes.
Then all summer long, the road construction outside the window here.
Is done.
The construction with the building shaking.
Oh.
The
next block.
I never broke. Never. Let it interrupt me. I'm a consummate professional.
Oh, you're talking last summer.
Yeah, quit laughing at me.
A couple of times I thought, how am I even going to get in there?
I know. It was something else. They put me in a purple padded room, North Korean equipment, road construction outside, road construction shaking the building. Now with the North Korean equipment, they got the filler here, the feed all screwed up or showing me the wrong things. But Joni, we are not breaking from broadcast.
No, we're not.
We're consummate professionals. Consummate professionals. Oh.
We are.
Yeah.
Well, so what happens when the clock strikes 12? We go off, and then what comes up? Is that Glenner's problem?
We're gonna find out. We're gonna find out. You know, it's, you know, right now we should be having bumper music. Maybe we do. Let's see.
Confident voice, so they can express themselves.
We're saying goodbye, Fairbanks. We're at. You have a good afternoon.
The challenges of school and home life, and they need orthodontic and dental care to make sure their smiles.